And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in today's readings, we're given a picture of St. Peter, the Prince of the Apostles. Our Lord finds a young St. Peter practicing his trade, that of a fisherman. But in the epistle, we find a much older, wiser, and battle-tested man who has spent most of his life not in catching fish, but in catching men for his Lord. So many people came to hear Jesus preach that our Lord found himself crowded into the Lake of Gennesaret. However, note that the fishermen seem to have little interest in what is going on. They are mending nets, surely a routine and tiresome chore for fishermen. This is even more remarkable when we understand that this event has occurred after the Lord has healed Peter's mother-in-law. Peter doesn't even seem to care enough to go to the Lord when the crowds are pressing Jesus. It is Christ that seeks St. Peter, asking for use of his boat. The Lord is the one that does his calling when he wants his disciples. Surely there were some in the crowd who would have made quite loyal disciples. Maybe there were better educated or wealthier men in the crowd than Peter, yet Jesus calls out to the fishermen who are mending nets. The Lord makes use of the boat to teach the people who stand on the shore. He also uses this time to teach the fishermen who are piloting the boat. These fishermen have caught nothing, even though they had worked mightily all through the night. They do not see that the fish are not in the lake, but all along the shore. It is the Lord that will make the fishermen fruitful. The fishermen are steering the boat. The Son of God steers the cosmos. Professional fishermen catch nothing throughout the night. He who created fish and fishermen has them lower their nets. Then they are fruitful, dangerously so. A small boat begins to sink. Desperately, they call to their brethren to come and aid them in bringing in such a mighty catch of fish. So abundant is the catch that the second boat begins to sink under the weight of the fish, just as the first boat is doing. The fishermen do the work. However, it is only when they are guided by the Lord that their work produces a catch. St. Peter seems to finally realize what he should have already known. The man who healed his mother-in-law, whom the crowds are following, is someone to take note of. Which is a greater sign, a greater wonder, that fishermen should catch a load of fish, or that a woman should be healed from her illness? Is it more of a wonder that a fish net should bring in fish, or that an itinerant preacher should cast out demons and be followed by immense crowds who beg for miracles? Nonetheless, it is the catch of fish that seems to impress St. Peter. The Lord does the calling. The Creator seeks out his creature. It is when the Lord finds St. Peter, calls to him, and asks for the use of his boat, and then shows him how to be fruitful, that St. Peter finally gains clarity. God seeks us out and gives us grace to respond to him. The prayer book teaches us this same lesson during the post-communion thanksgiving. Father, assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in. If God gives us the grace to respond to him, to guide us in our walk with him, and to persevere, does that mean that we do nothing? Some Christians have answered that question positively. God is sovereign. Man is nothing. God does everything. We have no choice but to perform God's will. God certainly is sovereign. But let us look closely. The Lord healed St. Peter's mother-in-law. There is no response from the fishermen. The Lord teaches the crowds. There is no response from the fishermen. The Lord has to ask for the use of the fisherman's boat, and only then does the fisherman reluctantly allow the master to use it. The Lord tells the fisherman to lower his nets, and he does so. Then the great catch of fish. Then the response, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Who made that response to Christ? Was it St. Peter or God's sovereignty? The church has always answered, yes. The Lord is sovereign, but he condescends to give us the chance to cooperate or not to cooperate with him. The saints themselves have always recognized that their works, their merits, are attributed primarily to God and not to themselves. St. Augustine tells us in one of his commentaries on the Psalms, "You are glorified in the assembly of your holy ones, for in crowning their merits, you are crowning your own gifts." We see in this account of St. Peter's conversion the right way to cooperate with God. It is to acknowledge the truth of who we are and who he is. It is when we truly fathom our creaturely status and realize that we depend absolutely on God for our every moment, that the Creator gives us back to ourselves, enfolded in his grace, so that we might become more closely drawn into him. Paradoxically, the more we become like Christ, we also become more truly our own selves. When St. Peter is writing his first epistle, he is a man that has learned to follow Christ through the good and the bad. He failed our Lord miserably at the trial and crucifixion. St. Peter literally apostatized by denying Christ at the time of the Passion. We know that story. We also know that our Lord reconciled St. Peter to himself and made him the shepherd of his flock. The apostle knows firsthand the compassion and mercy of our Lord. It was St. Peter that attempted to fight back when the mob came to arrest Jesus in the garden. Maybe he wanted to make up for the time when he was lukewarm to Jesus at the Lake of Gennesaret. He is the only disciple that we know of that actually fought to protect his Lord. This fighting in the garden is St. Peter's attempt to do things his own way. In striking with his sword, he is not doing all such good works that God has prepared for him to walk in. Our Lord responds to St. Peter's attack by saying, "Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" Jesus does the works that his Father has set out for him. The Savior of mankind could have destroyed his enemies with a simple exercise of his omnipotence. But instead, he was, as the prophet Isaiah says, oppressed, and he was afflicted. He opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. This incident with the sword makes a vivid impression on St. Peter, because notice what he tells us in today's epistle. "Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing." St. Peter sees this lived out in the life of his Lord and Master. He writes further, "If ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." The apostle lived this out. After his experiences with the Lord, he goes out to preach the gospel to all the world. In the book of Acts, we find a Peter who is beaten and mocked, but he rejoices that he is counted worthy to suffer shame for the Lord's name. Have you suffered? At times, is your faith weak? Do you question the Lord and feel like denying him? St. Peter's life is set out for all of us. There are times when, as Christians, we ignore the Lord. He has to call us back, as he did with St. Peter by the lake. At other times, we are zealous for the Lord and lash out at those whom we believe to be his enemies. Do we understand the Lord is telling us to put up our swords and to drink the cup that he offers us, as he drank the cup given to him by his Father? Is our faith shaken? Do we curse and swear, saying, "I know not the man"? All these things the Prince of the Apostles, the Rock of the Church, did, and so it should come as no wonder when we do the same. Let us learn the lesson that St. Peter teaches us. Despite all the things that he had done to deny the Lord, and all the mistakes that he had made, he would end up on a cross himself, upside down, killed for his Master and Lord. St. Peter was willing to learn and to allow his mistakes and his sufferings to be part of God's plan of salvation for himself and the church. If you suffer, if your faith is weak, and you feel that you have apostatized, take courage. Our Lord still holds out to you the cup, still offers you a cross. He doesn't promise that you will not suffer. But know this, your sufferings, just as our Lord's sufferings, just as St. Peter's sufferings, can be the good works that God has prepared for you to walk in. God can use suffering to your benefit. It is not fun to have the sharp corners ground off of you. It's not easy to kick against the pricks, as our Lord told St. Paul on the road to Damascus. But when you are in the middle of despair, when you are flailing in the water because you are trying to walk the waves towards Christ, keep before you another admonition of St. Peter. For this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if and when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Through the prayers of your Apostle St. Peter, Lord, have mercy upon us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.